Thank you, Cindy. Beautiful song. Thank the Lord for the promises in the Bible about heaven. And folks, that's a real place. Many years ago, before there was a Sword of the Lord publishing company, Dr. Rice sent a book to be published, and it was about heaven, and every time he mentioned heaven, he capitalized it. And they sent it back to him, and they said, "You shouldn't capitalize this. This is not a proper name, and it should not be capitalized, and you redo it and send it back to us, and we'll publish the book." And he wrote him back and told him, forget it. He said, heaven is a real place. All you got to do is believe what the Bible says about it. And I said he wasn't going to change it. Heaven's a real place. It's a prepared place for a prepared person. I hope you're prepared this morning. All right, turn in your Bibles, please, to the book of Acts, chapter 2. Acts chapter 2 for the message this morning. While you're turning, just two announcements. Actually, they're announcements that we've been making, but need a little clarification. There's an announcement in the bulletin about the Grammar's anniversary party, their 50th anniversary party. This is a party that is being thrown by their children. They're holding it at Granite, where Pastor Grammer pastored for 35 years, and so they wanted to have the party there. Dr. Grammer and Jeanette are celebrating their 50th anniversary, and they have invited our folks to come, if those that would like to come, all are invited. However, we need to let them know if we're coming. And so this is not a going away party for them. As most of you know, Dr. and Jeanette Grammer are retiring and moving to Charlotte, North Carolina. And his last Sunday with us will be June the 24th. And so we're going to have a going away celebration party, whatever you want to call it, after the service on that 24th. And so this is not that occasion. This is their anniversary that is being thrown by their children. So they've invited the folks from our church to come. And so we need to know how many folks are going to go. If you just show up, if 2,000 people showed up, we're going to wipe out the cake and ice cream that they purchased, okay? So we need to know how many folks are going. So that's why we ask you to sign up out at the welcome desk. So after you book your summer vacation and get your airline tickets and your cruise and everything else out to welcome desk, stop by and sign up to go to this. Then there's another announcement concerning our summer children's activities. As most of you know, when we finish the master's clubs for the spring, which is now, we start making plans for the children's dynamite club. And this is a program that we do through the summer on Wednesday nights for the children. And this does not just happen. We have to have helpers and workers. And so you always come through. You always sign up. But we have to prod you a little bit to do that. And so consider this your prodding this morning. There is a sign-up sheet out at the welcome desk. And so if you could help us with this, whatever we do, we want to make sure that we have a good program for our kids and keep them trained and growing in the Lord and keep the Bible before them. And so that's what we do with the Dynamite Club through the summer. And Pastor Dennis cannot do it by himself. He needs your help. And so if you could sign up to help with that. And also, Neighborhood Bible Time is coming up on July the 15th, and that will be here before we know it, folks. It's already the latter part of May. And so if you could help us with these events and get signed up, and that way Dennis can sleep at nights, and that would make him more effective on the job during the week. So if you could help us with this, I would appreciate that tremendously. So sign up for these things, if you will. All right, let's begin reading in verse 41, and I'd like to read down through verse 47, and I want you to pay close attention as I read the scriptures this morning. It says, "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls, and they continued," I like that word, don't you? They continued. They weren't at it for a week or two and then quit. They continued. They continued steadfastly. I like that word too. In other words, they weren't you know, in one week and out the next, and then back in one week and then out the next. They were steadfast. They stayed right with it. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men, as every man had need. And they continuing daily with one accord, and that doesn't mean they were all riding in a Honda. All right, they were in agreement with each other. They had the same mindset. They had the same goals, the same purpose. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. That'd be a change, wouldn't it? And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. I want to take you back now to verse 42, and I want you to look at this verse. It says, and they continued steadfastly in four things. Now, I'm not going to preach on all four. I'm going to mention one and tie it in with the one that I want to preach on. I want to preach this morning on the second one that is mentioned. They continued steadfastly, number one, in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. I want to speak to you this morning on this subject, the fellowship. Let's pray together and ask the Lord to bless us. Our Father, we're so thankful for the Word of God. And Lord, I pray you'll bless this morning as we open the Scriptures and look at this little word that is found in verse 42. What a tremendous word this is. And Lord, I pray that you will bless. I need your help as I speak. Lord, I have so much on my heart that I want to say. But Lord, I want to say what you want me to say. So I pray you'll guide and direct and fill me with your Spirit and help me this morning. And Father, we're thankful that we have the fellowship here at our church. And Lord, we're thankful for the way you bless this place. And Lord, we're so unworthy and so undeserving. And yet your grace continues to be poured out. And so, Lord, bless us richly this morning as we look at this little word and try to apply it to each and every heart. And Lord, help us to see the point this morning, to understand the thought, and then to use it. And we'll give you praise and glory for what you accomplish in us. In Jesus' name we ask it, and amen. I want you to give me your undivided attention this morning. I'm really not going to preach a message so much as I'm going to just counsel with you this morning. I want to just talk to you. I want you to think this morning that you are sitting in my office. It's a one-on-one meeting between you and me. And you have come to ask me about how you could be a better Christian and how you could better serve the Lord. And I want to try and answer your question for you this morning. The message comes this morning as from a conversation and thought after the conversation that I had this last Monday on the airplane as I was flying to Houston. There was a man sitting beside of me, and a man that I believe was genuinely saved, who in just a few minutes after he found out that I was a pastor of a church, started to lament to me his opinion concerning the condition of the Church of Jesus Christ in America today. And I didn't even get the chance to ask him where he attended church, but as he said that he got saved and relayed to me how he trusted Christ as his Savior, and he said, I instantly realized that I needed to go to church, and so I started looking for a church. And we really didn't even get to where he settled down in a church, but he made a statement that sort of launched us into this conversation. And the statement that he made was this. He said, you know, I think that the church today, I think we need a new reformation in the church today. And when he made that statement, I chuckled. I sort of laughed a little bit. And he saw the surprise and the chuckle that I gave when he made that statement. And he looked at me very puzzled and he said, what, you don't agree? You don't agree? And I said, sir, if by a new reformation You mean that you think the church needs to return to the Bible? I wholeheartedly agree. But I said, let me explain to you a little thing about the first reformation of the church, the one that you are probably making a reference to, the reformation that was brought about by Luther and Calvin and Zwingli and some of those old reformists back in the middle part of the last decade or 10,000 years. I said, or the last 1,000 years. I said the in the course of history, Luther and Calvin and Zwingli and the others responsible for what we commonly refer to as the Reformation really fell short of reforming the church because they did not take it back far enough to the book of Acts. They did reform many of the doctrines of the church, but it was not a complete reformation. Yes, they reformed the major doctrine of salvation by grace through faith and did so by going back to the New Testament times. But there were other things that they did not reform, and they left the seeds for its own destruction, for the church's own destruction, by not taking every area of the church back to the book of Acts. And I went on to tell this fellow that I'm not sure that what we need is a reformation as much as we need a restoration. And I explained to him that what I think we ought to do and where I think the church needs to go, we need to take the church all the way back to the original pattern that is found in the book of Acts. We need to go back to the very beginnings of the church and imitate and do what was done in the beginning of the church. And so what we need is a restitution of the original pattern that was set forth as the benchmark for the New Testament church. And folks, that pattern is found for you in verse 42. This is what the church did. You will notice that they were, verse 41, they received the word of God. They were baptized and they were added unto the church. They were brought into the fellowship of the church through their baptism. And in verse 42, these same people did four things. Number one, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. And by the way, folks, the apostles' doctrine was Christ doctrine. I'll show you more about that. I'll prove that to you in just a moment. But then secondly, they continued in fellowship with each other in that doctrine. And thirdly, they continued in the breaking of bread. And fourthly, they continued in prayers. Now, I want us to think about these things that were mentioned here. And I want to focus primarily, mainly this morning, upon the second thing that is mentioned here. Luke tells us that they continued steadfastly in fellowship. Now, folks, listen very carefully. The only thing that has ever done the world any good at all has been the gospel message of Jesus Christ. That's the only thing that has ever done this world any good. Government hasn't worked. Philosophy hasn't worked. Social agencies haven't worked. The arts and entertainment hasn't worked. The only thing that has worked to change hearts from, and that's a change from the inside, and to bring God's blessings upon a people has been the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Greeks gave us philosophy, but that soon died out even before the Lord Jesus came 2,000 years ago. Then the Romans came along and they gave us government and law, but that failed to bring the utopia that they had hoped to give to mankind. And soon the Roman Empire was nothing but a memory of what used to be. But then the world came face to face with New Testament Christianity. The world came face to face with the New Testament church of Jesus Christ. A description of the church coming into its own is found here in this second chapter of Acts. In utter helplessness, the disciples were sitting and waiting and praying and tarrying, as the scripture calls it. When all of a sudden there came from heaven a sound as of a rushing mighty wind, and the Spirit of God fell upon the disciples, and they then set out to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ with authority and power like the world had never witnessed before. In this chapter alone, 3,000 people gave their hearts to Jesus Christ when they started to preach. Then you continue reading, and you'll read where several more thousands came to Christ. You'll read where multitudes came to Christ. You'll read where the church continued to grow and prosper and reach people and spread across the world until you get to the 17th chapter, when the world said of the church, when the world said of the apostles that they had turned the world upside down with their preaching. That was the church. And I say to you folks that the church is the hope of the world. A church that is filled with the Holy Spirit, continuing in the apostles' doctrine, continuing in fellowship, continuing in the breaking of bread, and continuing in prayer. That is the church that is the hope of this old wicked world. Folks, the Democrats are not the hope of the world. Hillary is not the hope of the world. Obama is not the hope of the world. And I want you to know, the Republicans aren't the hope of the world. It is the gospel of Jesus Christ that is sent out by a church that is empowered by the Holy Spirit of God. That's the hope of this world. Hope of this world is not in a church whose leaders are predatory homosexuals who only go into the priesthood so they have access to their prey. The hope of the world is not in a church whose pastors don't believe the Bible.
Amen.
The hope of the world is not in a church whose pastors don't believe that the Bible is the inspired, authoritative, inerrant, eternal, preserved Word of the living God. The hope of the world is not in a church where women are ordained and allowed to pastor, or where homosexuals and lesbians are allowed to pastor. The hope of the world is in a church where the apostles' doctrine is believed, and where there is true fellowship and breaking of bread, and where prayers are offered. Now, I just have one thing to say, and because that's all I got time for. I got a bunch to say. I'm just going to say one thing, though, and then I'm going to apply it. But here's what I want you to, let's look at this word fellowship. I want you to look carefully. What is this? What is this? You've read it. You know, you've read it before. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. And the implication is, and they continued steadfastly in fellowship. What is this fellowship? What is this that Luke is speaking of? Folks, if ever there is a word that is abused, it is this modern world's understanding of fellowship. It is such a popular word that just rolls off of our tongues, and we use it so often, but do we really know what is being said here? Notice, first of all, in order to understand it, notice the order of which the early church's actions were given. Folks, we are told first that they continued in the apostles' doctrine. The religious world today cries out. Now listen very carefully. The religious world today, and by the way, let's just read that verse one more time. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles'. What's the next word? What is it? Doctrine. We live in a society today, we live in a world today, that where what we're hearing and what we're reading coming out of just about every camp is the world, religious world, crying for us to lay aside doctrine so we can find a way to fellowship with one another. They say, doctrine divides us. And to that I say, yes, it does. Amen. It's supposed to. It's supposed to separate us. That's the intent. Doctrine divides, Pastor. Let's lay aside doctrine and let's come together on the things we can agree on. And by the way, feeding people and, you know, sheltering people and taking care of people that are sick. And, let's lay aside doctrine so we can help people. Folks, there ain't anything going to help somebody like the gospel of Jesus Christ. It takes a soul that's on its way to hell and sends it on its way to heaven.
Amen.
It changes lives. It changes hearts. Pastor, surely we can find some common ground and we can all come together as one. Well, folks, look at me. I've read this Bible now for 37 years. I've read it from Genesis to Revelations, and I want to serve notice on you. That's not found in the Bible. Lay aside doctrine so we can all get along. Not found in the Bible. You say, well, Jesus prayed for us to all be one. Yeah, and you go back and read it in its context, and you'll see that he put a caveat in there. He said, Lord, I pray that they will all be one, even as I am one with the Father. And I want you to know that when Jesus said that he wanted us to all be one, he didn't mean lay aside truth, lay aside doctrine, so we could all just get along. That's not what he's talking about. I can never yoke and join up with some reverend that denies the blood. I don't care what the issue is. I can never yoke and yoke up or join up with some liberal that denies that Jesus resurrected from the dead. Folks, that's a fundamental. That's a fundamental. Paul said that if you're going to be saved, you've got to believe that Jesus was raised from the dead. That's a fundamental doctrine. I can't yoke up with some outfit that denies the virgin birth. Well, you know, Pastor, what we need to do is lay aside our differences and just all get along. No, sir, my friend. What we need to do is get back to the Bible and what the Bible says about Jesus, and then we can have fellowship. Now, listen very carefully. Let's look at the verse again. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. Now listen very carefully, folks. I'm going to show you something here. Doctrine is the foundation upon which the church has to be built. You can't build it on personality. The personality is one day going to die. You have to build it on doctrine. Doctrine is the foundation upon which the church has to be built. Now, read the book of Acts, and you won't be long figuring out the doctrines that the disciples believed. I'm not even going to take you out of the second, third, or fourth chapter. I'm only going to mention the fourth, the one verse in the fourth. But you just look at your Bible, and you'll see what the disciples preached. You'll see their doctrine. Look at chapter 2 and verse 23. I say to you, the disciples believed and preached the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. Look at your Bible. Look at verse 24. They believed and preached the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Look at your Bible, folks. In verse 16, in verse 25, and in verse 29, they believed in the inspiration of the Scriptures. They believed in the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and that these three are one. In chapter 2 and verse 33. Look at verse 38 of chapter 2. They believed in the doctrine of repentance from sin. They believed that. They preached that. It was not an area to compromise in. They believed, chapter 2, verse 41, in baptizing converts. They believed in chapter 4, verse 1, in prayer. They believed that God answers prayer. In chapter 3, and verse 6, they believed in personal soul winning. And I could go on and on and on continuing through this book. The point is, folks, when the scriptures tell us that these early believers continued in fellowship, it was fellowship with others who had the same foundation under them that they stood on. All this ecumenical, well, let's just all get together. You cancel your service at the open door and we'll meet over here at the park, or we'll meet over at the auditorium at the high school, or we'll meet down here at the fire hall, and we'll all stand around, hold hands, sing Kumbaya, throw in a little "Oh, How I Love Jesus" every now and then, and then live like the devil the rest of the week. Folks, that's not found in the Word of God. Now, this matter of fellowship, it's in the Bible. But now, let me show you something. Now, folks, get my point here. Now, understand what I'm saying. You say, well, I don't like this. I know you don't. I'm trying to get you. I'm taking you somewhere. All right? So just go along for the ride. This matter of fellowship is something the local church should practice. Now, look at it again. And they, who? The ones that got saved. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, there's your foundation, and fellowship. This matter of fellowship is something the local church should practice. Now look carefully at verse 41 again. They. In other words, the ones who were witnessed to and got saved. What did they do? They followed the Lord in believers' baptism. And on that same day that they were saved, then they followed the Lord in believers' baptism, and then these same people were added to the church membership. Now, folks, look at me. Look at me. Now, get this. Think. This is not churches fellowshipping. This is the church fellowshipping. This is not everybody in the community getting together. This is the church fellowshipping. All right? In verse 42, it says, and they. Who is the they? The they are these new believers who were added to the existing believers who made up the church. So what is Luke trying to get us to see here? Folks, we're looking at the pattern. We're looking at the benchmark. You see, we don't need a reformation in the church. We need a restoration in the church. We need to go back and pattern our churches after how the first church did things. And what they did was they preached the gospel, and they preached the Bible. They believed the Bible, but then secondly, they fellowshipped. Now, what does that mean? Well, I checked on the word, and it means this. It means it has the idea of a deep association. It has the idea of a true communion, an agreement. It is a word, listen carefully, it is a word that is much more than just gathering at a building and shaking hands with each other and smiling. It is so much more than that. Folks, true fellowship is never anything superficial. When it says here that they were fellowshipping, it has the idea of involvement. It has the idea that they were working together. They didn't just show up one Sunday a month and do their religious duty. No, everybody that was in that church was fellowshipping. They were all united in heart, and they were in agreement with one another that a job was out there that the church was supposed to do, and that they were going to do that job. They were working. They were serving. They were involved. Folks, true fellowship has to have something that ties it together. And the glue in this thing is the matter of doctrine. True fellowship is only created when there is an agreement on that which is the foundation. And when people become Christians, believers, and they believe the Bible and they stand on the same foundation and they have the same heart to get the job done, that's when they become one. When the Lord prayed that we would all be one, He's not talking about everything across the country. He's talking about those of us that believe that book. Now, what do we do with this? How do we apply? Folks, listen, this is what churches need today. This is what churches need today. I'm not going to preach about everybody else's church. I'm going to preach about our church. Our church needs this. I don't want to call it a reformation. I disagree that we need that the church needs a reformation. No, we don't need a reformation. We need a restoration. We need to get back to verse 42. We don't need a reforming. We need a restoring. We need a restoration that goes back to Acts chapter 2, verse 42, right here to church, the open door. I've said this all since I've been here. I've said this since I've been here. That thank God for the return crowd we have on Sunday night, Wednesday night, but it's not what it ought to be. There should not be a seat. We ought to have to get chairs out every Sunday night. Should not be a seat. An empty seat anywhere. But you see, we think, well, if I go Sunday morning, I've done my duty. You're going to have to stand before God one of these days. Is that really how you feel? You're going to have to stand before the Lord one of these days. Do you really feel that way? Think about it. I really think that this is the explanation for why so many people have filtered in and out of here over the years. You know, you go get a 20-year-old church directory, and you open that page up, there won't be two people on each page that you know. You go get one from 15 years ago, and you open it up, I don't care what page, just open it up and look at it. And you're going to go, well, who's that? Who's that? Well, I don't know those people. And it'll be half the page you don't know. You go get one from 3 years ago. Go get the last one. You'll open it up and you'll go, where are they? I haven't seen them in 3 years. There are people in the last directory just 3 years ago. And the last time we saw them was when they were here to get their picture taken. It's amazing. I mean, folks, we have not changed the program over the years. We still believe that there's only one way to heaven. We still believe the Bible's the Word of God. We still think winning souls is what the church ought to do. We still believe the music should glorify God and not the flesh. We still believe that you ought to be in church 3 times a week. We still think you ought to read the Bible daily and pray. We haven't changed on any of that. And I dare say that all of you believe these things that I just said. Amen? Amen? Sure you do. All right, question for you then. So why do you leave? Huh? Why do you leave if you believe? Why do you leave? I'll tell you why. You leave because of this area of fellowship. This area of fellowship. I believe that everybody in here believes the things that I just spouted off. But boy, I don't know how many times I've heard, well, you know, Pastor, we just haven't been happy. And I just think we're going to go look for another church. And well, Pastor, we're just going to be moving on. Why? Why? The matter is in this area of fellowship. That's why. We haven't changed. You go back 12 years ago and you get the sermons. Yeah, the style changes a little bit. You know, you learn, you grow. I used to get so tickled. You know, people say, well, praise the Lord, we haven't changed in 75 years. Yes, you have. Good night, you've got old as dirt in 75 years. Tell me you haven't changed. If you don't ever change, folks, I hate to tell you, I'm not trying to be unkind, but that's retardation. We all change. But you say, well, we're just going to be moving on. Well, folks, the problem is in the area of fellowship. You know and you believe these things that the disciples believed and practiced. You know them. You believe them. The problem is you're not continuing steadfastly in these things. You say, well, what do you mean? You believe the things. But the problem is, as you have gone through life, you've let this sidetrack you and that sidetrack you and this sidetrack you. And then it's the little league and then it's the golf league and then it's the fishing and then it's the NASCAR and then it's the PTA and then it's all. And you wake up one day and you're way over here out of the fellowship looking back in and say, you know, I'm just not getting fed. And the whole time, man, every service, every time, it's open your Bibles. And I tell you what happens. You get sidetracked and you let up on your fellowship and you stop coming on Wednesday night. You stop coming to soul winning. You stop coming to Sunday school, and you stop coming to Sunday morning, you know, except for, you know, holly lily stuff, you know, Christmas and Easter. And then when you do come, I remind you, and you don't like that. Well, that preacher, who does he think he is? I think that I'm the guy that God called to preach this book. And to say, hey, folks, we're not here for ourselves. We're not here to play ball. We're not here to make money. We're here to serve God. We've been put here to live for God. Well, you preachers ought to live for... No, we're all here to live for God. You see, the Lord knows that not all of us can preach. Good night. I have a hard enough time doing it. I can't imagine if I just were to look over here and say, oh, okay, Gil, come up here and give it a shot. Gil just walk up. I say, I'm just going to sit over here. No, we can't all preach. But folks, it doesn't make any difference where you work or what you do. We're all to live for Christ. We're all to continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. And fellowship. This word fellowship does not just mean that we come and we shake hands with everybody and wave and smile. No, it has the idea that they continued steadfastly in working in that church to reach people with the gospel. Amen. And so when you come to church and I remind you that you're not doing what you ought to be doing, next thing you know, you're looking for a place where you won't feel convicted. Oh, you aren't quitting on God. You're just going to go somewhere where you don't have to hear about soul winning. You're going to go somewhere where you don't have to hear about reading the Bible. You're going to go somewhere where you don't have to hear the preacher stand up and preach against drinking liquor. You're going to go to church somewhere where you don't have to worry about the pastor preaching on rock and roll music in the church. And we're just not being fed. And the whole matter, folks, is connected to the second characteristic of the early church, fellowship. Folks, I see it every week of my life. Folks will start missing Sunday school. No fellowship in Sunday school. They'll start missing then. And this doesn't happen overnight. It's a process. It's over time. They'll start missing then the Wednesday night service, and they have no fellowship around the study of the Bible. Then they start missing Sunday night, and then they start hitting and missing on Sunday morning. And the next thing I hear, somebody breaking their neck to get to me to tell me, "Well, Pastor, did you know that so-and-so are leaving the church? Yeah, they just haven't been happy yet. Yeah, Pastor, their needs just aren't being met by the church." No, dear friend, their fellowship is not being met because they aren't fellowshipping. It's their fault. Now, they blame me. Or they blame him. Or they blame the speaker. Or they blame the kettle drum. Or the carpet. Or, you know, just anything. But the truth of the matter is, it's nobody's problem but their own. Their fellowship hasn't been met, and it's their fault. The opportunities are here. They could take the Soul Winners Club. They could work on a bus. They could go to the prayer room on Sunday night. They could sing in the choir. They could read through the Bible. They could continue that close fellowship with others and with the Lord. But they don't want to. And I've said it before. I'll say it again. You look at me. Everybody get this. You are going to do what you want to do. Period. And if you're not here tonight, it's because you don't want to be. And if you're not here Wednesday night, it's because you don't want to be here Wednesday night. People do what they want to do. You say, "Well, Pastor, how do I get my wonder straightened out?" It's called repent. Let God straighten out your wonder for you. Folks, I don't know about you, but I want to be here on Sunday. I can't wait for Sunday night. Amen. I want to be here on Wednesday night. I can't wait. I want to read my Bible. And that's where, hey, listen. Oh, my goodness. Y'all okay?
Yep.
Is everybody okay?
Amen.
You know, folks, in order to keep from dealing with conviction, some folks just go somewhere else. But I guarantee you, I promise you, I'm not trying to hurt anybody here this morning. I'm trying to get you to see a truth. I ain't changing. And I'm still going to preach 3 services a week. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. I believe that. We're going to keep preaching soul winning. I mean, we're just going to stay with it. And we need to get back to the way it was in the beginning. We need to get back to loving the fellowship, the serving, the working with other believers. John said it this way: "We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren." What did he mean by that? He meant that we like the fellowship of other Christians. And again, folks, look at it. The 3,000 got saved and joined the church, and they continued steadfastly. In other words, nothing could keep them away. And as a result, they stayed with it. You know, there's a lot of folks that are steadfastly with their lodge. Oh, yeah. Boy, they'll steadfast for that lodge, boy. Steadfast for that little league. What about steadfastness for God?
Amen.
Folks, listen, I'm not going to compromise. I'm not going to water it down. I'm not going to weaken it. I'm not going to change what I've been for 37 years. So answer me this. Why is it when you first came here, you were all cranked up? You couldn't get enough. Many of you have said, when you first started coming to church here, you came up to me and you said, "Boy, preacher, why don't we do this every night of the week? I said, well, first of all, it'd kill me, that's why. Man, Pastor, boy, listen to that choir. I love that music. Wow, boy, look at all the programs, look at all the stuff. And I'm learning the Bible. And man, you just couldn't get enough, and you got involved in everything, and you just loved the programs, and you loved me. Figure that out. Now let me ask you, have I so dramatically changed that? If that's what's caused you your problem? Mm-mm. Nope. What's changed is the fellowship. And the one that changed it was you. And I think the change is in your own heart, in that you sat under the light of God's Word and you got light from God, and then you refused to walk in the light that you were given. You did not continue in the fellowship, obeying the light that you were given. Folks, listen, go back to verse 42 and I'm done. And they continued steadfastly. Now, you're going to get offended here and there as you go through life. It's just going to happen. Now, I don't mean to offend you. Sometimes I do. No, I don't mean to offend you. That guy doesn't mean to offend you. That guy doesn't mean to offend you. I mean, these people over here don't mean to offend these people over here. But hey, let's just face it. You go through life, you're going to offend somebody. You're going to be disappointed. The whole key here is they continued steadfastly. And first little offense, what happens? Well, that's it. I'm going to go find me another church. Well, I just wasn't treated right. I was mistreated. So I'm going to go find me another church. I'm just not getting fed. Folks, same old stuff every Sunday. Same old stuff every Sunday. Brother Jack, you've been, what's it been, 20-some years you've known me? 20-some years. It's always the same old stuff, ain't it? Brother Jack lives down in Bessemer City, North Carolina. I go down to Fundamental Baptist Home Missions and preach in their Jubilee every year. And so every year you've heard, that changed, same old stuff, isn't it? And here you are this morning. I didn't know you were coming, unannounced. You just show up and same old stuff. But yet they filter in and out, in and out. Wow, Pastor, man, I love this place. I love it. And we think, hot dog, boy, this one's going to take off. And then 2 weeks later, say, well, where'd they go? Where'd they go? The problem is fellowship. Folks, get involved. Look at me. Some of you need to join the church and get busy. Some of you need to walk down this aisle this morning and join the fellowship of this church. You need to go out there and sign up for that Soul Winners Club. You need to go out there and tell Pastor Holbrook, I can help with the bus. You need to go up to Pastor Allen. There's a couple of seats left in the choir. Go up to Pastor Allen and say, hey, I can sing. I can sing in that choir. I mean, folks, we just need to get in the fellowship. And there'll be no telling what God could do with this place. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Well, our Father, we thank you for our time together this morning. Bless what's been said to our hearts. Lord, help folks to understand my heart this morning. I'm not trying to be unkind to people. Lord, I'm not trying to hurt anybody. I'm trying to encourage and help folks. This matter of living for Jesus. Lord, help us to be steadfast in what we believe, but also steadfast in what we do, that fellowship. And Lord, there are folks here that have so much to give and so much to offer. Yet, Lord, they're doing what they want to do. They're doing what they want to do. Lord, change the wanter this morning and give us a heart that wants to serve Jesus, that wants to be faithful and grow and learn and win souls and be what we can be for the cause of Christ. Father, speak to every heart, I pray, in Jesus' name. Our heads bowed and our eyes closed. How many folks here today will say, Pastor, God's speaking to my heart this morning. God's dealing with me about my fellowship And I understand what you're saying. I realize, and I need that fellowship in my heart. I need that where it ought to be. Pastor, pray for me. Would you slip your hand up all over this building this morning? Let's pray about this. Amen. That's good. God bless you, folks. Amen. God bless you, folks. Amen. How about upstairs? Yes. God bless you, folks. Amen. Good, 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 good. All right. One more question. Let me ask this. Is there anybody here today that's not sure you're saved and on your way to heaven? You say, Pastor, I don't even know if I'd go to heaven should something happen in my life. I want you to pray for me, preacher. Would you slip your hand up and let me pray for you this morning? Anybody like that? Pastor, I'm not sure I'm saved. Pray for me. I need the Lord. Can I pray for you? Anybody like that? All right. Now, Lord, you know our needs this morning, and I pray the Holy Spirit of God will meet the needs of our hearts. Lord, give us a burden. Give us a burden, Lord, for this matter of fellowship. It's one thing just to come on Sunday morning and Lord, sometimes once or twice a month at best at that. But Lord, to fellowship, to be there, to get involved, to become active, to be participating. Lord, help us to realize that this is what you have in mind with this word fellowship. They continued steadfastly. And Lord, I pray that you'll convict our hearts this morning and get us involved in the work of the ministry. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.